Welcome to episode 209 of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I'm your host, Kim Schlag. On today's episode, I'm going to take you on a little walk down memory lane with me. We're going to talk about the craziest workout trends that I have tried. I bet you'll listen and you'll be like, ooh, I tried that one, or I almost tried that one, or I wanted to try that one. Now, in explaining these, yes, we're going to have some good laughs, but I really want to walk you through why they were not effective at the goals I was shooting for, and how you can be aware of marketing around various fitness trends so you can spot like, okay, yeah, I think this is actually going to work for the goals I have, or no, it's not. Now, as you're listening today, if you're like, wait, how do I make my workouts more effective? I definitely want you to come to the free workshop I am hosting next week. Exercise for Fat Loss Over 40, your core four training priorities. By the end of the hour-long workshop, you will be 100% confident that you know the main driver of fat loss, the two most common exercise mistakes, and importantly, how to eliminate them. You'll know, should you be training differently in midlife? How do you age and menopause impact your body in relation to exercise? And what are the core four training priorities that will transform your body, boost your metabolic health, and help you age with vitality? You can find the link to join in the show notes, or you can head to kimschlagfitness.com. On to the episode. Hello, my friend. So today we are going to be talking about the worst workout trends that I have tried. Now, recently I was scrolling around on TikTok and I saw a coach saying, all you need to get snatched in the next 60 days is two dumbbells and 30 minutes a day. For those of you in Gen X like me who don't know what get snatched means, it means a small, tight waist. So it's like the waist someone with an hourglass figure would have. Snatched. Those modern vernacular. It's tricky stuff. You know, let's do a small digression here and then we're going to come back to the workout trends. I find Gen Z's words, I feel them like they're a little tricky. I'll hear words like on social media or my daughter's friends will say something and I really am like, how old am I? I don't know what you mean. How old am I? One example of this was the word bet. Have you heard younger kids saying bet? My kiddo's friend says this a lot. And I was like, what does she mean, bet? Like, what are you talking about? Is it some kind of challenge? Or did you dare somebody? Like, that didn't seem to fit the context. It turns out it just means like, yes. Like someone would say, oh, so you coming to John's tonight? And the person would reply, bet. And I'm still not totally solid on this one. But it feels like it means like yes, but like enthusiastically yes. That's how I'm gathering it means bet. I find that one really tricky. Now, have you heard the term stan? This one I figured out. This one is like a combination of stalker and fan. So if you stan someone, it means you're obsessed with them, but not like in a creepy way, right? So you're not a stalker, but it's kind of both of those words together. And they use it as both a noun and a verb. So you could say like, I stan Harry Styles, or you could say like she's a Taylor Swift stan. You can use it both noun and verb. So it's like a super fan, stan. I do like, one of the terms I really do like from Gen Z is glow up. I think that's a great word to describe a transformation. She had a glow up. That's a good one. We're working on your glow up. All right, back to the topic at hand, snatched. It's a small defined waist. So this coach on TikTok is promising you can get this snatched waist just two sets of dumbbells in 30 minutes a day. That's all you need. You're going to get a snatched waist in 60 days. Really? Really? And though she's using snatched waist as her hook in the video, she's also talking about getting toned all over. So she's like, you can get toned all over 60 days. You just need two sets of dumbbells and 30 minutes a day. Now, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, I bet you know how I would respond to that. If you've been here, you know what I'm going to say. If you did whatever it is she's suggesting with those two sets of dumbbells for 30 minutes a day, plus you'd need to add on some rest days, and this is the big key, and you sustained a calorie deficit with your nutrition, you could snatch your waist or at least get a more snatched waist in 30 days. Sure. But the workout alone, it's not going to cut it. You've got to do the calorie deficit with your nutrition. So if we're just going to look at the workout portion alone that she suggests, we're just going to assume someone is in a calorie deficit as well. Like, how is the workout that she is suggesting? I have no problem with the 30 minutes part. The 30 minutes part, it's on the shorter side, but it's absolutely doable to get a good workout in 30 minutes. Like, I'll pass that. The daily part, you're going to need bare minimum one rest day per week. So if she's saying 30 minutes a day daily with 1 to 2 rest days a week, I'm on board with that, because your results really depend on your muscles recovering from the stress placed on them during a workout. It's not just the stress itself that you place on them, but it's the ability to recover from that stress that's key to continued results. It is so important, and it is so often overlooked. So if she made that little tweak in her wording, I'd be good with the daily part as well. Now, the two sets of dumbbell part. See, now, no, progressive overload is key to seeing results from your workouts. Lifting a bit more weight week to week, or doing another rep with the same weight. And you can train in all rep ranges and see results as long as you're training close to failure. Research shows us this. But it does have endpoints. It does have limits. You cannot be so far away from your one rep max. So if you're doing more than 30 reps, then no. So it's going to be really hard to appropriately challenge all of your muscle groups with just two sets of dumbbells. Either the weight is going to be too heavy for some of the smaller muscles or too light for others to get effective stimulating reps. So what I'm saying is, this is really a gimmick that she's pushing. And honestly, I fell for a ton of gimmicky workouts back in the day before I was trained as a coach. A ton. Now, I did trend. I did trend more towards cray-cray workouts, diets than workouts, but I did dabble in workout trends as well. And I'm going to hit some of the highlights for you here today. What are some of the gimmicky workout trends that I tried back in the day? Most of this is in like the 20 teens. Most of it's like the 20 teens, somewhere around there. Maybe the end of the 2000s. Yeah. End of the 2000s to into the 20 teens. For sure. Like 2008, 2009, and a little bit later than that. Okay. So the first one I want to talk about is P90X. Oh boy, was I into P90X. Like, I was religious about P90X. I fully bought into the idea that in order to see results, I needed to destroy myself. And destroy myself I did, day after day. After all, the X in P90X, it stands for extreme. Did you know that? That's what the X stands for. 90 days extreme. And it is very extreme. I will say one good thing about P90X, it introduced me to some of the basic lifts. The form, when I look back at it, their form was not always the best. And I certainly did not train the lifts I learned progressively, right? So I wasn't doing more each week or heavier each week necessarily. I didn't know about progressive overload at that time. And so this led to a lack of result. But years later, when I did learn about progressive overload, I was already familiar with so many exercises because I did learn them during P90X. And to this day, another positive of P90X, some members of my family, we still quote Tony Horton. That's the creator and the main guy in P90X. We still quote one of the things he said all the time on those videos. He would always say, do your best and forget the rest. That's what he always said. And we still say it. And I think it's really good advice. Do your best and forget the rest. So that's one of the only positives I have to say about P90X. All right. Boot camp. I had a similar experience with boot camp at my local Y. I did two different boot camps. I did a boot camp and then I did advanced boot camp. And this was when I was about 40, maybe 41. I had lost a ton of weight with Nutrisystem. Like, I'd lost a bunch of weight and I could not figure out why I still did not look fit. Like, I got to my goal weight and I was like, what the heck? Like, I do not look fit. Like, where is the muscle in my arms? Why don't they look toned? And newsflash, they didn't look toned because I didn't build any muscle. In fact, I had probably lost quite a bit of muscle doing Nutrisystem because, unbeknownst to me, I had no idea I needed to be eating enough protein so that I was losing fat, not muscle. Unbeknownst to me, the meals I was eating were not high in protein. So I didn't strength train. I wasn't eating high protein. And so, you know, I did not have muscle. So I did this boot camp. Did this, I believe it was right after P90X. I believe that's correct. It was hard. This boot camp was hard. I was sore. I was tired. And I was like, yes, This must be working. They killed me. I was chasing that burn. I was chasing that soreness. I was chasing that it is so hard. They wiped the floor with me kind of feeling. And I was getting it. The only problem was I never did see any visible results. Now, I don't remember whether it was 2 months of boot camp or 3 months of boot camp, but when that class was over, I did not look any different. Not at all. And in my mind, I was like, okay, like I just need to go harder and I need to go harder for longer. I need to get more sore. I need to trash myself more. So, of course, I signed up for advanced boot camp. And I made it approximately 3/4 of the way through one class, at which point I had to run out of the room and into the bathroom and throw my head into the toilet. I was dry heaving. It was so intense. This is class one of advanced boot camp. The running they had us doing, the pace they had us moving at. They had us going from exercise to exercise. I literally left and never went back. And looking back, I would not have gotten the results I was looking for anyway from that class. The results I was looking for was to get fit and toned. That's muscle building plus fat loss if one has fat to lose. And this advanced boot camp was going to build no muscle. I was not going to be building muscle with what we were doing in there. Could it possibly have helped with burning calories? Possibly. But what we know about exercise activity thermogenesis is that it is the smallest part of our energy expenditure. There are a lot more effective ways to create a deficit than doing something that made me feel like garbage, like absolute garbage. All right, so those are some of the extreme workouts I tried. Let's move on to something on the other end, the other extreme here, and that is not intense at all. So when I turned 40, I went to Hawaii for the first time. I loved hula. I fell madly in love with all of Hawaii and the vibes of hula. I just thought it was so beautiful. And so when I saw a hula workout DVD, it was in some store or an airport, like I can picture it in my mind. It kind of looks like a mini market in my mind. So I don't know where I was in Hawaii, but I see this hula workout DVD. Yes, DVD. It was like 2010 after all. That's what we did. We had to buy DVDs. I had to have it. And so I bought it and it was fun and it was really lovely. I still own it. I don't do anything with it, but I still own it. It was in no way going to get me the results I wanted. And this is something that is so common. We try to use the wrong tools for the job when it comes to fitness because something is appealing, like we enjoy it. And I've got to be honest here, moving in any way at all is a positive thing. Only 1/4 of Americans are meeting the physical activity guidelines. We are a sedentary society. Any movement is good movement. So even me just doing the hula DVD was good movement. Where frustration comes in is when you expect certain results from a method that cannot, in fact, deliver those results. So if your only goal is to move because moving is healthy for you, to move, to enjoy movement itself for fun and for joy, literally whatever you enjoy works. If you want to dance the hula, do it. If you want to do Zumba, do it. I also enjoyed doing that back in the day. But, and this is important, when you have specific goals, such as lose fat, or build muscle, using a tool that cannot deliver those results and then wondering why you didn't get those results, that can be maddening. Okay, moving on from hula to hula hoops. I cannot remember at what point in my fitness journey this was. Like I have zero memory of when it was, but my friend Whitney lent me her weighted hula hoop. Have you seen these? The ones that I used, I've seen different ones more recently, like on TikTok. They have like a little weighted ball attached to them and it works by the same concept. The one I had was very popular back in the day. They're giant hula hoops, so bigger than a traditional hula hoop, and they're weightier. So they weigh a couple of pounds. They're not really heavy. So, and you literally just hula hoop it. That's all you do. You just hula hoop it. Now, not to brag, but I have always fancied myself to be something of a pro hooper. I loved hula hooping as a child and I could hold my own in any like who can hula hoop the longest kind of without stopping contest. As you can imagine, marketers for exercise, they target hula hoop exercise as spot reducing belly fat. And that is pure fiction. That cannot be done. No exercise can spot reduce belly fat. Hula hooping is not going to reduce your belly fat. Hula hooping is certainly not going to build any muscle. It's not even a great cardio workout. So it's not going to help with heart health. So it's really just another example of this is a fun way to move, but it's not going to get you any tangible fitness results. And that's what I found with my dabbling into the weighted hula hoop. Speaking of spot reduction, enter 30-minute ab class torture. What a waste of time that was. I think back to those days. I had young kids. I was homeschooling them. And I had such limited time. And to think that I was using it on 30 minutes of ab work is just like, ugh, ugh. But like everyone, like I didn't know what I didn't know. And I tried to give younger Kim grace. She was doing the best she could with what she did know. Okay, so friend, 30 minutes is a lot of time to dedicate to your abs. Abs, just like any other muscle, can be trained to be stronger. You can build them, but to reveal them, you do need to lose body fat. I know when you feel that burning in your abs, you might think like, okay, that is fat burning. It is absolutely not. That is not fat burning. We cannot feel fat being burned from our body. So you do not need 30 minutes of abs at a time. When you think about ab training, 2 to 3 sets of 1 to 3 ab exercises, 1 to 3 times per week. You do not need more than that. At most, that's 21 sets of abs, and that is on the way high side. Like I typically program for my Fitter After 40 members and my Fitter After 40 alumni members, like 3 sets of 1 to 2 ab exercises per week. So we do it over the course of 1 or 2 days per week. So that's like 6 sets of direct ab work per week, maybe 9. Maybe we get up to 9. In addition to using abs in our push-ups and all the other exercises that demand effort from our core. So we do use our abs in other exercises. Now, I'm not of the school of like, you don't need direct ab work. You use it doing your squats and your push-ups because you do use it then, but there's absolutely no reason you can't do a little bit of direct ab work as well, which is what I program. But you don't need 30 minutes of abs. You do not need a whole ab class. You don't need to be doing abs every day. You don't need to. You're not making the best use of your time if you're like every morning when I wake up or every night before I go to bed, like I do these ab exercises. If you're not seeing the results you want in terms of losing body fat, if you would dedicate those same minutes that you use every morning or evening to these ab exercises, to doing things like reflecting on your day in terms of what went well with your nutrition and what didn't go well with your nutrition, planning out your nutrition, what will you eat tomorrow, pre-logging that food, really looking for what hurdles might come your way in the next day. If you spent that ab workout time on that, you are far more likely to see progress with weight loss than doing ab exercises every morning or every evening. Now, if you want to hear all about the time that I trained to walk a marathon for weight loss and what the results were, come to my free workshop I am offering next week. I'm offering a free workshop called Exercise for Fat Loss Over 40, Your Core 4 Training Priorities. I'm going to break down for you exactly what your workout should include, what the 2 biggest mistakes are that you're making that are keeping you from seeing results, and I'll be sharing the tale of walking a marathon to lose weight. What was my training like? How much weight did I lose? What went right? What went wrong? You can find the workout to join that free workshop in the show notes or at my website, kimschlagfitness.com. That's what I have for you today. I'm going to be back again next week. I will talk to you then. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I hope you found it motivational, inspirational, educational, organizational. If you did find value in this episode today, it would mean a great deal to me if you would leave a rating and review on whatever podcasting platform you are listening to this episode on. It really does help to get this podcast in front of other people. Thanks so much for being here.